The first part of this chapter of Acts 11 has to do with Peter's visit to Cornelius, and we spent quite a little bit of time on that last week. And here Peter returns to Jerusalem and he reports about what he had seen and heard. And the interesting point about this chapter is that Peter gets a little bit of blowback, a little bit of trouble from some of the Jews that were in Jerusalem, because they were unhappy that the Gentiles were hearing the gospel. And we've spoken about this a little bit in recent weeks, but it's lovely to see that Peter stands up for the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. And he acknowledges that this work of grace was not restricted simply to the Jews, but as he says there at the end of Acts chapter 11, I think around about 18, verse 18, he says, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." So Jews and Gentiles, as we saw last week with Cornelius, were receiving the gospel, believing the gospel, and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Luke, the writer of the Acts, he leads us into a new section, and he's speaking here about the gospel as it went out from the Jerusalem at the time of Stephen's persecution. So let's read from verse 19, Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travelled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." So here we can see again that it was just the Jews that were primarily the objects of the preaching of these who travelled. However, there's a little change going on here. So verse 20 says, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians," or the Gentiles, "preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man," this is Barnabas, "for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. So Luke is telling us a little bit about how the gospel moved away from Jerusalem, and particularly how it moves into the north here, because it's the north. And while it went to the south, that reference to Cyrene there probably speaks about the north coast of Africa. Rather, it's heading up towards Asia, towards Turkey, towards Europe even, as we see Stephen picking up the account here of what happened when these men went away from Jerusalem during the time of Stephen's persecution and ultimately his death. And one of the things that we can notice immediately from this is that even when the enemies of the gospel try to do harm to the gospel and try to do harm to the church and to God's people, they are used in God's providence to do good to the Lord's people and to the work of Christ. And in God's providence, he used the persecution of the church in order to extend the sphere and scope and reach of the gospel and to enlarge the glory of his own name. As these believers traveled, we discover that they were just preaching to the Jews. Now, let's see if I can show you something else here, because I've got a little map, and I'm going to use this technology to its full if this has worked. And there you've got a little map, and you can see in the map, there's Jerusalem there, and Judea. So that's the area where the Lord's ministry took place. But then at the persecution, we discover that the church moved, some of them to the south and went along the North African coast through Egypt, others up into Cyprus and to Phoenicia, or Phoenice, as we read about it a little bit earlier, and into Antioch. So these are the places where the believers were going to at this time. And just for the sake of comprehensiveness, there's a little place up here just to the bottom of the A in Cilicia at the top there, where Tarsus is. And that's where Saul had been sent back at the time, again, of the persecution of Saul in Jerusalem. He had been sent back with the believers to Tarsus, and that's where he was living. So we discover now that with the with the believers being scattered, that the gospel goes out to these other places, and suddenly Gentiles are being converted as well. Gentiles are being converted because the Lord's people speak to their friends and to those who speak Greek, and the message gets passed from person to person. And the Holy Spirit is involved in opening the hearts of the Gentiles, just as he had done with Cornelius and Peter. And these converts speak to their friends, and the Gentiles begin to hear and believe the gospel in large numbers, in huge numbers. And back in Jerusalem, the church leaders, who were a little bit dubious, a little bit uncertain about the Gentiles being converted and receiving the Holy Spirit, as we might have read in the earlier part of Acts chapter 11 with regard to Peter and Cornelius, they wonder what's happening. So they send this man called Barnabas, and they tell him, go as far as Antioch and see what's happening. And I wonder if perhaps when Barnabas was traveling, that he traveled up through Damascus on his way, that would be up through Syria. Damascus is just up here, on the way to Antioch. And I wonder if he perhaps traveled through Damascus. And when he was traveling through Damascus, the people there said to him, do you know what happened to Saul? Do you know what happened to Saul of Tarsus? We haven't seen or heard of him for quite a long time. And Barnabas, of course, he would remember, because he knew Saul back in Jerusalem. He would remember that he had been sent to Tarsus, and from Tarsus, that's where he was now living. And so Barnabas went, delegated by the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, to find out what was happening in Antioch. And when he got there, he discovered that Antioch was full of Christians. There were Christians gathering and worshipping. They were praising God. They were meeting in churches. And the gospel was having great effect in Antioch. The Holy Spirit was converting many, many people. And Barnabas wondered, what am I going to do? The church at Jerusalem wanted to know what was happening in Antioch. And what's happening in Antioch is that there are many, many believers, a great number of believers. And I suspect that Barnabas thought, will I go back to Jerusalem and tell the leaders of the church what's happening? Or will I try and help these new believers? He knew he couldn't simply turn around and go away when all of these new believers were in Antioch and needed his help. So he took the initiative. And I like this. I like this so much about Barnabas. In fact, Barnabas is, his name means comforter or consolation or encouragement. And I think that he proved to be a real encouragement to the people in Antioch. Because what did he do? Rather than going back to Jerusalem with his story, with his account, as he had been asked to do, he took the initiative and he headed for Tarsus. He knew where he could get help in preaching the gospel. He knew where there was a dependable man that he could rely upon to help the church at Antioch. And in such a way, he was useful for the preaching to the Gentiles. And he knew that Saul would be useful also. And having gone to Tarsus, there met with Saul, he brought him back to Antioch, and we discover that there together they preached and taught for a year in Antioch, and the church grew there in leaps and bounds. And here Luke tells us that believers were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, I think we've said this before, that probably that was a nickname. It was probably meant to mock the believers by those who didn't believe. But isn't it a fine name for the Lord's people to carry? Isn't it a beautiful name that the Lord's people are known as Christians? Christ's people, Christ's ones, Christ's followers. And I think somewhere out there this morning, we have a Christian who's listening to us this morning. And it's a fine name. Christian is a follower of Christ. And Christ, as we know, means Messiah or the Anointed One. And so Christians are God's anointed people. Christians are Christ's anointed ones. And that's a lovely name for us to possess. If someone calls us a Christian, it's not really a bad nickname when we think how beautiful that name is. At the end, we're told that at the end of this little passage, we're told that there was a famine coming into Judea and indeed into all the world at this time. And this man called Agabus, we meet him again later in Acts, but he was a prophet and came and told the brethren at Antioch that there was going to be great need at Jerusalem and in Judea. And so we find that the church made a collection, they gathered to help the church at Jerusalem and Judea, perhaps as a way of saying thank you for sending Barnabas and sending the other preachers and supporting the work of preaching the gospel. And once again, it's lovely to see how the Lord arranges these things to accomplish his will. It was persecution that had sent the believers fleeing to Antioch and to Cyprus and to these other towns. It was persecution that sent Saul to Tarsus. And Barnabas, who knew and trusted Saul, being sent to investigate what was happening, Saul and Barnabas both become part of the Antioch church, and Paul, as he is going to become in the coming chapters, shows himself to be an able and a faithful teacher of the gospel. And so God raises up his people, and God gathers his people, and God provides for his people. And from now on, we shall see how God indeed has granted repentance unto life to the Gentiles. And how that word Gentile includes you and me, all who are not Jews. and how we too, as we have been brought to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, brought to trust on that Lord who is alive, who is a living Saviour, so we too are granted repentance unto life and to be able to trust in the Son of God, to be able to be known as God's anointed ones, a Christian, one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening.